Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, our old friend James Fox has another film out. It's The Moment of Contact, and it's about the strange events in 1996 in Varginha, Brazil. And longtime listeners of the Paracast will know that we've had several interviews with A.J. Gavard, one of the top Brazilian UFO researchers, on the topic. But I'm going to ask you, James, what led you to pick this one for the follow-up to the phenomenon?
Well, how far back do you want me to go?
You know what? This is a long show. You could take whatever time you need.
Okay. So when I was producing Out of the Blue back in the late 90s, I had a co-producer, two co-producers. One was Boris Zuboff. The other one was Tim Comey. And I'll remind your audience, we were working on a documentary about UFOs, the UFO phenomenon, the UAP phenomenon, however you want to title it. And Tim said, you know, we've got to look into this UFO, alleged UFO crash. It happened just a few years earlier, 1996, in Varginha, Brazil, where apparently these creatures or beings or ETs or whatever you want to call them survived and were walking through the town. I dismissed it so quickly, about as quickly as the snap of a finger. Tim was rather insulted by the whole thing, but I just, there's no way that an event like that could happen and everyone not know about it. So I'm not going to waste one second on this case. And I didn't. Fast forward from 99 to 2011. I was traveling to Brazil on a completely unrelated incident. And in fact, I was going to appear at a conference in a place called Peruíbe, which is south of Sao Paulo on the coast. I got a phone call from a gentleman, Jeff Sagansky, who's been working quietly behind the scenes, helping me get distribution for some of the films that I'd done. Never wanted credit, never wanted any commission, just supported me quietly and discreetly. He said, oh, you're going to, and he was a very, very high up on the entertainment, you know, the food chain in the entertainment industry. And he said, oh, you're going to Brazil, James. You got to look into Varginha. And I thought, oh, God, not this one again. And I said, sure, Jeff, I'll look into it. And I hung the phone up with absolutely no intentions of spending any time at all looking into this case. But when I arrived in Brazil at this conference, I just happened to stumble upon some witnesses and people that had investigated the case. You could say that piqued my interest. I then went back several times to Brazil just to see if there was something more to this case than what I thought. To my surprise, there seemed to be. And so I did extensive filming during the production of what ended up being the phenomenon. It started off as 701. I intended to edit a small section, cover that case among many other cases, in the film. Probably spent 6 months editing, probably a 12 to 15 minute section. And ultimately I cut it out entirely of the phenomenon. And I remember my Brazilian counterparts congratulating me on the phenomenon, but then saying, what happened? All the work we did, all the interviews we did, none of it made it in the movie. I said, I know, guys, I'm sorry. I tried to squeeze it in. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do the case justice. And I also felt that we were missing a few key witnesses, primarily those from the Brazilian government or the Brazilian military that were involved, as well as the gentleman, Carlos de Souza, who had vanished, who was reportedly one of the witnesses that saw the UFO actually crash. So the phenomenon came out. It was relatively successful. It did well. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, boy, I put a lot of time into that Varginha case. I really can't just let it go. I should give it one more shot. So we had boots on the ground in Brazil for probably another year and a half, 2 years. And then last year, I went there for another month after all the previous research that my fellow partners and co-producer Marco Leal had done, and tracked down additional witnesses and convinced, managed to convince a few witnesses that we'd been in touch with to come forward. So we shot it. We put the whole thing together. We were very fortunate. It was extremely precarious at the very last minute to get a couple of key eyewitnesses. Two were Brazilian military and several doctors. So that's how it all happened.
Now, it's interesting here to note that Brazil didn't just have this one case. There have been some very, very significant UFO cases over the years in Brazil. I remember, for example, in the 50s, the Ubatuba case, where some slag or some metallic fragments were apparently dropped by a UFO, and when tested, they yielded magnesium to a higher level of purity than anything we could at the time develop here.
Yeah, I think Jacques Vallée even said that it would cost billions of dollars in a laboratory to do it, if we could do it. And in fact, in the phenomenon, I went and I was invited into the lab in Silicon Valley with Gary Nolan and Jacques Vallée to share some of their preliminary analysis of alleged bits, pieces of UFO metamaterial, I think they call it. And in some of those samples was an event that happened in 1957 at Canyonas Beach in Brazil, where allegedly this thing exploded and fragments scattered all over the beach and on in the water. And so that was 57. And then you've got another, I guess, a case that would involve Close Encounter of the Third Kind in 68 in Linz. Then there was the Kolaris case. It happened in 77. I think that was kind of ongoing. That also involved both Brazilian and, I'm told, U.S. participation. That was a crazy case. And then you, and I give a very snapshot history in this piece. Then you've got 1986, UFOs over Brazil, where you had roughly 12 UFOs and jets scrambled. And the Brazilian Air Force was very transparent about that case and even allowed some of the pilots to describe what they'd seen. And then you've got this incredible event 10 years later, where you've got witnesses in the town and around the town of Varginha, which is about 5 hours to the north of Sao Paulo in the state of Minas Gerais, claiming to see an object in distress, cigar-shaped, no wings, no tail. It had a gash in the back of it. It had white vapor. They said not smoke like you'd expect from a fire. It was like a white vapor coming out the back, flying very slowly and erratically like it was in trouble. Ultimately, we have a witness, Carlos Sousa, who is a ultralight pilot, as well as a professor in Sao Paulo, who was headed on January 13th, the morning of January 13th, from Sao Paulo to the state of Minas Gerais to go ultralight flying. He was an amateur ultralight pilot with some friends of his, so he remembered the date very well, and who claims to have seen this object actually impact the ground. He came upon the crash site. He jumped off the freeway. He followed up to where this thing was on a farm called Maiolini Farm. And he came upon a field about the size of a football field of debris with a very large portion of the alleged craft, cigar-shaped craft, still intact. He was examining the area. He said that there was a extremely powerful, strong odor of ammonia and sulfur, so much so that his eyes were watering. He grabbed his T-shirt and covered his nose and his mouth. And he said that the debris was foil-like, somewhat similar to what Jesse Marcel had described back in 1947.
The memory metal, what you're talking about is the memory metal.
The memory metal that he put in his hands that was very light, and he crumpled it up, and it retook its form after he released it. And I think he was there for less than 5 minutes when the military trucks from a base called ESA, E-S-A, arrived on the scene, and they ushered him out of there at gunpoint. So a few days later in the town of Varginha, which is roughly 6 to 10 miles away as the crow flies, you've got reports from both civilian and military of a large military presence and strange beings that were roughly 4 feet tall, brown, oily skin, very oily, like silicone oily, with large heads, big, big red eyes, 3 to 4 times the size of a human, spindly arms, spindly legs, cowering, afraid, weak.
James Fox, director of Moments of Contact. With Gene and Tim and James, you're in
The Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So James Fox is giving us the description of this 4-foot being with humongous eyes that was seen in the vicinity of this crashed UFO in Varshinya. Go on, please.
So the most compelling eyewitness testimony came from three women young women, age 14, Valkyria, her sister Liliani, age 16, and their friend Katya, age 21. And they were going, took a little shortcut home through this little field that had a sort of tall grass, maybe about knee-high grass, and a cinder block wall on one side. And they said they were walking through this field, and they saw up against the cinder block wall what they initially thought was maybe a statue of something very unusual. And it was, they slowed down, they're trying to take a closer look. It was only about 10 feet away. As they got closer, they realized that it was something they'd never seen before, some strange creature. And one of the girls let out this gasp, at which point the creature maintained this crouched position and turned its head and looked them right in the eyes. Two of the girls yelled, Liliani and Valkyria, grabbed each other by the hand and started hightailing it out of there. They got about 100 to 150 feet away and realized that Katya, the 21-year-old, was frozen in her tracks, locked eyes with this thing. So the older of the two sisters, Liliani, left her younger sister, Valkyria, and ran back to the spot and grabbed Katya and pulled her out of there. In fact, that's where I got the title of the film, because I wanted to know from Katya, when she locked eyes on this being, what did she feel? The moment of contact with this creature, did she see, did she feel anything? Was there any level of communication? And that's when she said that it was communicating to her that it was scared, it was vulnerable, weak, and it wanted help.
The communication, was it just a look, or did she get some other kind of signal?
You know, I didn't ask her if it was telepathic, but I said, did it communicate to you? Was it, there was some kind of, she said, I'm scared, and it wanted help, and it was suffering, is what she said to me. I didn't ask her, it didn't speak, that's for sure. It was done through the eyes. And I didn't actually use the word telepathic. I'm assuming that's possibly what it was. There was no verbal communication.
Now, in the film, there is artistic representation of the creature. But if you want to see something sort of similar, there was a character in the TV series Stargate SG-1 called the Asgard. And they are shiny, gray-like alien creatures with huge eyes. Now, I wouldn't say this event was influenced by that one, because Stargate SG-1 came out after that particular contact. But it's interesting about the shiny skin. Let's go on, please, about this.
So the girls ran back to their house. They got their mother and brought her down reluctantly. So the two sisters refused to go back to the scene. But Katya, the 21-year-old, ultimately agreed with the mother of the two girls, her friends, to go back to the scene. And when they got there, the creature was gone. However, there was a stench. Mother said it took several weeks, even using rubbing alcohol, to get it out of her sinuses and her, just the smell in her nose and throat, that it was sort of sulfur and ammonia, they described it. Very, very strong, like 100 times stronger than a skunk. And there was a footprint in the shape kind of like a V with another digit protruding out to one side in the soft sand, which she drew for me. That story spread like wildfire across Brazil. Also, other stories of the fire department having captured a similar creature, identical creature, just a couple of hours earlier on the same day. And then about 2 to 2.5 hours after the encounter with the girls and this creature, there were two military officers on patrol that were told they were on the lookout for something unusual. They were not told that there was a potential spaceship crash and an alien walking around. They just said, look out, be on the lookout for something. They were instructed to be on the lookout for something incredibly unusual. They were driving just a few blocks away from where the girls had encountered this being about 2.5 hours later, when suddenly this thing went across the road in front of them. The driver, Eric Lopes, slams his brakes on. Marco Trevisi leaps out of the passenger seat and captures this thing with his bare hands. Reportedly puts it in the back of the car, and they take it ultimately to Regina's hospital. Marco Trevisi, just a few weeks later, he apparently had like this greasy stuff, sticky, greasy stuff all over him. And he kept trying to wash it off with rubbing alcohol. And he had a little gash on his arm, which became infected. And after a few weeks, he admitted himself to the emergency room. And the doctor said that, which we also interviewed, Dr. Cesario, that he had this infection that normally a standard antibiotics would take care of, but nothing was reacting to it. And he said he threw the kitchen sink at Marco Terese, who was a healthy 23-year-old soldier. And Marco Terese died.
It goes on to give you the feeling, then, that ET is dangerous to your health. And there have been cases through the years where someone gets close to a flying saucer and suffers ill effects. But this is the first time I've heard someone trying to grab a hold of an ET and suffering from some kind of nasty side effect.
We don't know that it's ET. Some people of the witnesses called it ET. Some people called it a creature. Some of them called it just a strange being. But they said clearly, the witnesses, it was not a human and it was not an animal. It was a sentient being, as I described, about 4 feet tall, spindly arms, spindly legs, weak, feeble, cowering, afraid, and big, big, big red eyes.
Well, the UFO or ET connection comes because it happened in the wake of a crashed object, whatever it might have been. So I'm not suggesting, because I don't know and you don't know what that creature was, but obviously people saw it, touched it.
Yeah, no, I mean, if I had to guess, I would say, you know, extraterrestrial, but I don't know. I really don't know what it was, and I can't sit there and tell your audience that I do, because I don't. But it certainly appears that way.
One other thing you brought up, which is something from our pre-show conversation you hadn't followed before, is that the odor of sulfur, burnt sulfur, rotten eggs is prevalent in UFO history. John Keel would often mention that it would herald the arrival of some strange phenomenon, but here it was strictly in connection with these creatures.
And the crafts, apparently, because that's what sure. Carlos de Sousa described. He said it was so strong that his eyes were watering, and he was outside on a big seat in a big field, and that the grass was burned. I said, was the grass burned from a fire? He said, no, it was like a chemical, acid chemical that was spread up across the field that had burned the grass, but it wasn't a fire. Some sort of liquid.
We're going to break briefly here. We've got James Fox, director of a new film, Moment of Contact, about the 1996 events in Varginha, Brazil. I hope I got that pronounced correctly. We'll have somebody from Brazil send us a nasty letter if we didn't get it, okay? With Gene and James and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News.
More snow expected in western New York overnight as a travel ban is lifted in some parts of Buffalo. The southern part of the city is not one of those areas. Mayor Byron Brown says there's so much snow there, they have to just haul it out. Former President Trump called the Justice Department special counsel overseeing investigations into classified documents recovered from his Mar-a-Lago estate, quote, super radical left. Jack Smith, a veteran federal prosecutor, was chief prosecutor for a special court in The Hague. Theranos CEO Elizabeth Holmes was sentenced to more than 11 years in prison for defrauding investors of her blood testing equipment company. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has pledged more military aid to help Ukraine in its fight against Russia. He has also pledged some training and humanitarian support. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word BIMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology, a pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, obviously, not everyone has seen this film yet, although it's available from Amazon and all the usual offenders. But after watching it, I got to thinking, one of the most compelling parts of the film is when you take this eyewitness on this country dirt road in an effort to find the place where he saw the crashed object. And when he did find it, and you can detail this more explicitly, when he did find it, he breaks into tears. That had to be the most moving moment in the film. But tell us about the adventure to find that place.
So Carlos de Sousa had given one very brief on-camera statement to a Brazilian researcher by the name of Clodio Cobo. Clodio Cobo is deceased. I think he died somewhere in 2010, 2011. And we could not find Carlos, and I kept saying to my Brazilian counterparts, look, guys, we don't have a film if we don't have the guy who witnessed the thing crash. I mean, yes, we do have some archival interview footage of him, but that's it. I think it probably took Marco Leal, the fellow producer on this show, on this documentary, probably 5 or 6 years, maybe a little longer, finally found him, developed a little relationship, and ultimately got him to come forward after 26 years. So he had not been to the crash site for 26 years. We met him in Sao Paulo. He joined up with our team, and we took him to Varginha. When we arrived at Maiolini Farm, everything had changed. It just wasn't the grounds had changed. There were trees where there weren't trees. He kept talking about a small white house. And then he could definitely, I kept saying to him, because we're out in these different fields, we're missing location. We couldn't find it. And I thought to myself, God, how could this guy not know where the crash site was? My God, this farm is not that big. It's one dirt road in, one dirt road out. But he kept saying, I could see a white house. I said, well, how certain are you that you could see a white house in the debris field? When you were standing in the debris, he said, 1,000%. He kept saying 1,000%. But we couldn't see a white house. We searched for several hours. I was quite honestly pretty disappointed. I remember thinking, boy, this production is not off to a good start here. And I then decided to take my drone up into the sky that has a camera on it and start looking, you know, take it up to a higher altitude and start looking directly down to see if I can spot a small white house. And I did. And we were off by about a quarter mile. And I thought, I see a small white house. It had a grove of trees that had grown up, and it was quite hidden off the beaten path. And I thought, this has got to be it. So we drove down to this spot, got out, started walking down towards it, at which point Carlos clearly found the spot. I mean, you could see that it was an incredibly traumatic moment for him. So I remember the cameraman, Carlos, just started running towards the place. And the cameraman screaming, David West, my DP, slow down, slow down. I can't keep up with you guys. He's got all this camera gear, but I couldn't stop Carlos. He was on a mission. He was in his own little world. And when we got there, it was such an emotional, profound moment. I mean, one of the top five in all my years of production, where you could see in his eyes that he was reliving the scene. He was seeing the military trucks. He was seeing the debris field. He was seeing that one intact segment of the craft. And, it was very, very emotional. He was crying and I nearly cried. You know, if the guy's lying, boy, he deserves an Oscar.
Now, for, a lot of years, the, Carlos witnessing the, crash had been dismissed mostly because nobody could find him. Now, was that a situation where Carlos just decided that he had had enough of it and just kind of, you know, disappeared on his own? Or, you know, had he just been forgotten about, me, you know, as time went by?
One of the aspects of the story that I'd heard before, but I'd always kind of steered clear of the testimony, were the appearance of men in dark suits that were rather intimidating that approached witnesses. And I heard it from the mother of the two daughters that had a visit that was quite scary and intimidating and they were very stern and adamant that her daughter to get her daughter to lie and say that what they saw was something else. The mother refused, but she was quite intimidated by it. They offered her large sums of money. She could leave the country. She ultimately refused, said she's not going to call her daughters liars. And Carlos claimed to have also had a visit from men in dark suits that were quite intimidating. And they didn't threaten his life. They just said, if you talk about what you saw, you didn't see what you saw. If you talk about it, things are going to get very weird for you. And they went on to describe where he lived, his wife's name, his kids, all about his life. He said it was very, very spooky.
The one thing that struck me in listening to that scene with the women is that these men in dark suits, like four of them, right?
I think there were three.
All right. In any case, they said they would get the money if they left the country.
You know, I think what they said was you could start your life over again and be somewhere else. Implying it was foreign money, it was American money, implying they would leave Brazil altogether.
They'll set them up in Las Vegas.
Or something like that. Maybe Reno. I don't know. I'd always steered clear of those Men in Black stories because they just sounded so far-fetched and, I just had a hard time. And I'd heard them since the 90s. I'd heard about these encounters. I just couldn't wrap my mind around the possibility of these strange Men in Black figures. I don't know. It was a tall order. But there was something about the testimony of the mother. I just absolutely believed her. And I think it was, for me personally, it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. I thought, okay, I can't ignore this anymore. I'm going to include this testimony in the film, and I might be criticized for it. But I just felt that her story was very compelling. I didn't think she had any reason to lie, and I believed her.
You know, it's interesting, though, because the whole Men in Black story seems to be more of a, you know, like a Western type of thing. And I'm trying to think. I can't remember really any cases in, you know, like Central or South America involving the Men in Black.
You know, I had heard about men in suits showing up in Belgium from General de Brouwer, talking about wanting the recordings of the cockpits of the jets that were scrambled to intercept the UFO or UFOs over Belgium back in the late 80s and early 90s. I've also heard General Parviz Jafari, the 1976 case over Tehran, Iran, where he, all the jets were also scrambled and he tried to intercept this UFO and ultimately tried to shoot at it, which didn't end well for him. And he said the very next morning there were men in suits from the U.S. government. He wasn't sure which agency they were from. I'd also heard from Deputy Base Commander Charles Holt of an airplane arriving in at the Bentwaters-Rendlesham Forest incident in 1980. And he said that they came in from some unknown government agency in the U.S., sanitized, interrogated the witnesses, did all these things. So I'd heard about these so-called, you know, in fact, dating back to 1950 with Evelyn Trent, you know, the McMinnville, Oregon case. I've got her on camera in the 80s. I did not shoot it. Somebody else did, describing a man that came over to her house in a plain clothes suit and intimidating her and ransacking her house and asking for more photographic evidence that her husband, Paul, had shot. So I'd heard about this, and you also had the 65 Santa Ana with Rex Heflin. He also had men in suits come to his house. But I just kind of avoided those. And then finally, like I said earlier, this one just got me, and I decided to include that aspect of the phenomenon in the story.
The film is Moment of Contact, and we're talking with James Fox, the director. And we've got Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Interesting the local color there, where you have a lot of scenes where someone shoots you driving a car. Now, the first question I want to ask before we go into anything else, you're an American, you go to Brazil, so your driver's license is accepted?
Yeah, no questions asked.
Of course, in the UK, it would be strange because you're driving on the opposite side of the road, on the opposite side of the car. It looks like you're a pretty decent driver, though. I didn't see you doing anything weird. You seem very calm and collected.
I did the stick shift fairly well. You can't rent an automatic in Brazil. And not that I drive stick shift. I grew up driving stick shift. But isn't that funny? It's like, you know, I'm sure that many Americans that travel to Brazil to get a rental car have difficulty with that because a lot of Americans can't drive a stick shift. Or a manual.
It's funny. When I first learned how to drive, I took lessons. And I had a car. This is the 1960s. I had a car that was given to me by my first wife's aunt. And it had a stick shift, 3-speed stick shift. So I learned on the stick shift how to drive a car. And for many years thereafter, until probably around 1980, most of the cars I owned had stick shifts. Then I said, back with it.
My first car was a 1976 Peugeot 504 diesel. They were in Paris in taxi cabs. And that was a 4-speed manual gearbox as well. So that was the very first car that I had. I grew up driving a stick shift.
I once took a test drive in the Peugeot, and I thought it was interesting. But what was the other brand of French cars? Citroën, is it?
Oh, Citroën.
Yeah.
Citroën.
Weird kind of car. But it's unfortunate that most of these foreign makes didn't make it here until the companies decided to bring in cars that were essentially American cars reduced in size.
You look at the 60s Citroën, I think the French call it.
That's right.
Citroën. Yeah. They were highly advanced for their time. I mean, they had like this air suspension or this fluid hydraulic suspension that all basically floating on fluid. It was a very smooth ride. Very comfortable, like a big couch in the back, big comfy seats, really kind of floats down the road. Beautiful design, looked like a teardrop almost. Yeah, but those very, very few of those cars made it to the United States. I was good friends with an old World War II pilot. In fact, I did a film with him called The Good Fight, and he was in his 90s, and that's the car he drove. And he said he bought it new in the 60s, and he drove it all the way to the day he died.
I never got a chance to drive one, and when I thought about it, where I might have even had the money to buy one, they were no longer being brought into this country. I don't recall them getting terrifically good reviews. They weren't great handling cars. But in terms of comfort, I agree with you. It sounded compelling. Plus, I like stuff that was different. Like in the 1990s, early 90s, I bought one of the first Mazdas with a rotary engine.
RX-7.
No, it's before the RX-7. It was the RX-2.
Oh, RX-2. Wow. Okay, yeah, those things would rev really high.
Yes, they did. And the way they work, of course, is they had low torque, so you'd have to really jam your foot down to get some acceleration. But as soon as it revved up, suddenly it's like a rocket, and all the big cars around you are being left in the dust. I remember that well.
I drove an RX-7. It was my dad's girlfriend, ended up his wife. She was from France, and she had an RX-7. That thing was a ton of fun to drive. That seemed to be ahead of its time, and I don't know what happened to that patented motor, but it seemed to make a lot more sense than pistons going up and down.
Yes, I remember the commercials. The piston goes whatever, and the Mazda or rotary engine goes, ah, like that. The problem with the rotary engine is that the fuel economy was not nearly as good as a regular piston engine, and I think the manufacturing costs were higher. So eventually Mazda withdrew it from the United States, the RX-7 being the last ones. I understand they may revitalize the rotary engine and use it as part of a hybrid system.
Huh.
That would be nice. But the other problem was the RX-7 was basically a two-seater or a 2+2. There was a rudimentary back seat, whereas the RX-2 was like a Toyota. It was a four-seater car. So it made it practical for us. But the thing also problematic about the rotary engine, and we'll get back to unproblematic UFOs here, the thing about the rotary engine that was problematic is that the rotor seals could fail early. So we're talking here about after about 65,000 miles in this RX-2, when you start it up, it's blowing smoke. And finally, I turned it in. And while I was driving to the shop to pick up my new compact Buick, the car's standard six-shift transmission was failing. The master cylinder was going. I managed to induce it to get to the shop, parked way in the rear of the parking lot, picked up my car, brand new car, left very quickly, and then the salesman calls me the next day, "Hey, get this. When I tried to move your car, the transmission wouldn't work." And I said, "My heavens, it was perfect yesterday."
It was perfect when I dropped it off. That's bizarre.
I said, otherwise I wouldn't have gotten there. How did I get there otherwise? And he took it in stride. You know, okay, they have to rebuild it or auction it off, which is what they often did with cars that were defective like that. Plus, you know, it had to have an engine rebuild. But I don't think they were sophisticated enough in rotary engines to understand the symptoms as I did. So there you go. Let's go back to UFOs and this case. It's often called Brazil's Roswell. And I guess the similarity here is the crashed object.
The advantage to the Brazil case is that unlike Roswell, which occurred obviously back in July of 1947, the witnesses, this is 1996, the vast majority of witnesses are still alive.
And the problem here with Roswell, as we know, it was 30 years before information came out after the initial event. At that point, all the witnesses were exposed to pop culture. They were exposed to the Aztec UFO crash story from Frank Scully, and I expect a lot of the things they remembered were not very accurate. And Kevin Randall, whom I think you know, he never was able to... Pardon?
Yeah, of course you know Kevin Randall. Yeah, he helped me out quite a bit with that segment I did on Roswell in The Phenomenon.
Well, Kevin said in a book called Roswell in the 21st Century that he could never pin down a consistent story about bodies recovered in connection with Roswell. Here, with Virginia, the focal point is not so much on the spacecraft itself or whatever it was, but on the creatures.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how many cases have you heard of where you have credible accounts, multiple eyewitness testimonies in broad daylight coming between, you know, 8 to 10 feet of a live, unrecognizable creature? I mean, I haven't heard that. I mean, you've got the Rua Zimbabwe case. The thing about Rua which happened at the Ariel School, which is just outside Harare in Zimbabwe, is that the beings, so-called beings, were in control of that situation. Here they were not. You know, the children claimed to have gotten within a arm's reach, some of them, with these strange beings, which had the very large eyes and small bodies and diminutive size. But with this case, it was just different. These beings were not in control of the situation. They were cowering and they were afraid and weak and feeble and all that stuff.
What's interesting also is the aftermath, what happened. You trace the path of the creatures as they were captured and were recovered. You don't say so much about the object itself. What information did you find about it?
The only information that we got on the actual crash from a Brazilian military person was Military X. Military X reportedly was responsible. He was based as a military base, was responsible for the transportation of at least one of these creatures, which he saw. And he, during the interview, which was a miracle that we got him, he's been one of the top three targets of all the Brazilian UFO researchers since 1996. And he said that everything happened, his entire experience, his involvement, his participation, all stemmed back to Myelini Farm, which is the impact site. That's the crash site. And he confirmed for that on camera. It's in the credits at the end. So that was the only confirmation that we got from an inside military, Brazilian military official. But he was not involved with the transportation. He was involved with the transportation. He was not involved with the crash site. But his friends were, and they confirmed to him. That's where it all started.
Moment of Contact is a film, a lot more to talk about. Even what the last line of the film was, with doesn't destroy the continuity of the film, but it's interesting. With James, Gene, and Tim, you're in
on the podcast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.